Hi, my name is Garina Isasi, and I'm the author of the novel Start With the Backbeat. This book is set in the 1980s music business of New York City. Jill and her mostly middle class, mostly white coworkers are tasked with finding the next big gangster rapper. What could possibly go wrong? I'm going to read to you today from chapter 4 of the novel, which will introduce us to the main ensemble of characters. When we got outside, we could make out Tony and Lakeisha in the dim streetlight, arguing in front of two cars. One was a hired, sleek, black town car. The driver sat patiently behind the wheel. The other was a dented 1965 Ford Falcon, as aqua as the Caribbean Sea. Tony's long hair whipped around his head in the city breeze. Lakeisha wore some sort of tracksuit getup. She was jabbing Tony's broad, flannel-clad chest with a black baseball cap that had the letters P.E. emblazoned on it across in bright gold. "I am not getting into that tin can," she announced to him and to any pedestrians who might be walking by. "We are not going to show up in a drug dealer neighborhood in a limo," he told her firmly in his gravelly voice. He squared off his feet to counteract the action of her cap jabbing. As we walked up, they both turned to face us. Kenny rushed at them. "What's wrong? What's going on?" he gushed. Michael and I hung back, looking back and forth at the two cars. I was not about to get into the middle of this scrap. Tony and Lakeisha were the two toughest people I knew. Michael leaned down to my ear. 10 spot on Lakeisha," he said with a sparkle in his eye. I stifled a laugh and waited. They both turned to Kenny and began talking at once. Tony's argument was that we could not show up in the worst part of Queens in a shiny town car with a driver. Either he'd come off as a dealer's trying to take over someone else's corner, or the car would get jacked while we were in the nightclub. His Falcon, which was actually his grandmother's car, and she lived in Brooklyn, would fit right in and nobody would notice us. I noted to myself that from our collective appearance, this was not a group of people that would go unnoticed, no matter where we were headed. Lakeisha was beside herself. She didn't want to be seen, even in a nasty neighborhood, in that thing that Tony had brought. She was a senior manager at a multi-million-dollar music company and had a reputation to think of. Kenny decided that it was a streetness issue, so we went with Tony on this one. The drive over the Queensboro Bridge was an adventure in and of itself, with the five of us in the throwback monstrosity of a vehicle. Tony drove. Kenny sat shotgun. Michael, Lakeisha, and I were actually quite comfortable in the grand back seat. They sure made these old boats roomy. No wonder all of those songs from the 50s and 60s were about making out back here. Michael turned to Lakeisha. "What are you wearing?" he asked sarcastically. "Oh," she answered, straightening up and pulling down the shiny jacket slightly. "I made some phone calls this afternoon to a stylist friend. They did a bunch of photo shoots for Def Jam. She sent this over. It's nice, huh? She gave me these, too." She held up the cap and dug a thick gold chain out of her pocket. The chain had a gaudy medallion hanging off the end of it. "You're not really going to put that around your neck, are you?" I asked, pointing at the huge chunk of metal. "I don't know," she said thoughtfully. "So, Lakeisha," Michael asked, "you're actually from Brooklyn, right?"
"Yeah."
She didn't say anything else.
"Well, what part?"
Michael suddenly seemed very young to me. He was about my age, late 20s, but had worked at Mega Big Records much longer than me, in his current job, for several years. Lakeisha had been around the block and had no intention of going around it again or explaining that block to either of us. She kind of rolled her eyes without rolling her eyes. "I grew up in the Heights."
"So did I," Tony threw back from the front seat.
"Yeah, but I think that might have been a whole different Heights." She sighed and leaned on her hand, her elbow stationed on her knee. She turned her gaze out the window, officially ending the conversation. Leaning forward
I put my face over the back of the front seat, looking out through the windshield. I had a flashback of being on a family cross-country vacation. Where exactly are we going?
Tony guffawed. You don't want to know.
We're going to a little nightclub, Kenny said. Every Tuesday night is rap night, and I got a tape shopped to me by some guy who knows some other guy who comes here all the time. We're going to meet MC Doggy T.
Well, what do you mean by meet?
Is he going to perform or what? I pressed.
Yeah, sure. Of course, Kenny replied.
I think so.
He started gnawing on his cuticles again.
I leaned back and watched the street scenes moving past the window, waiting for us to get to our destination.